driving into Broken Hill, it was as though it was in the middle of a thunderstorm, because there was a locust plague that had descended upon far western New South Wales.
This is Anika Molesworth. Anika is a PhD student in agricultural science and a farmer in Broken Hill.
The wipers were going backwards and forwards trying to get these locusts off our windscreen, and they were everywhere. As soon as we opened the car doors and stepped outside, there were just thousands of locusts jumping all around us. It was incredible. And myself and my two young brothers, we were delighted. We were running around catching locusts for the rest of the afternoon.
You were delighted? That is like my worst nightmare.
I like the outdoors.
Anika and her family moved to Broken Hill when she was in high school.
I actually grew up in Melbourne, but my parents purchased our Outback Sheep Station in the year 2000.
For Anika, it was an easy transition.
I absolutely loved it, going from an all-girls private high school in Melbourne, where it's, ties and blazers, to the wilds of Broken Hill every school holidays, where I had horses and motorbikes and I could, walk for an entire day and not see another person. It was incredibly freeing. It's got this wild, harsh landscape that surrounds it, of red sands and, sapphire blue skies. I thought, oh wow, these incredible creatures, these vast open plains. I can see the horizon. I can see a billion stars in the night sky. It was incredible.
From the moment Anika and her family moved to Broken Hill, she knew that this was where she was meant to be. But things quickly took a turn for the worse.
We bought the farm at the start of the decade-long drought. So we were tipped headfirst into the harsh realities of Australian agriculture. Our first 10 years was drought. It was watching the landscape shrivel up. There was no water. We had to completely destock. We were watching shops in the rural towns close, people moving away. And it sort of really struck a chord with me. It made me aware of how interconnected different components of the farming system are, such as when the rain doesn't fall, less vegetation grows, you have to sell your stock for reduced weights. Less money in the farmer's pocket means they have to search for off-farm employment, and top the shops and schools and towns, they lose people. And I thought, I want a future in agriculture. I want to be a farmer. That's my dream. But the reality is that droughts are going to become more frequent and more intense in that part of the world, because that's the reality of climate change that we are facing.
They're looking at 50 plus in terms of temperature.
This is Brent Jacobs, a research director from the Institute for Sustainable Futures at the University of Technology, Sydney.
And again, it's not just that one day of extreme temperature. It's the fact that, yes, we have a heat wave that might last 3 days in Sydney and be high 40s. They might have a heat wave that lasts a week and is in the low 50s. So it's, it's really substantial effect that it has on people. If you've ever visited places like Dubai in the Middle East, how hot it can be. And it is oppressively hot and it just never stops.
And it's not just the heat Anika is worried about.
For the far west of New South Wales, it's going to become hotter and drier. There's going to be more frequent dust storms. The future prediction is that there's going to be less water available in the future. There's going to be a change in the vegetation that is out there, the species, which means there's going to be a change in the agricultural practices out there.
This is the real challenge for farmers, that because of climate change, everything they do, their practice of agriculture, will have to change. They'll have to learn how to adapt and be more ready for the prospect of more frequent climate events, because if they don't, they risk losing everything. But Anika thinks farmers put up a fair fight when it comes to climate change.
What I love about farmers is that they have this never say die spirit. They are incredibly resilient and determined to make a go of it. And I think that's because farmers, they always have their eyes on the horizon. They're always looking to, you know, what can we do next season? What can we do to ensure our property is the most sustainable for the next generation? You know, you give a farmer a pair of pliers and some wire and they can fix almost anything. When perhaps an urban person thinks of a farmer, they think of a, you know, an older gentleman with an Akubra kicking dirt around. And that's actually not the image of farmers in Australia. The farmers are doing these incredible things, like the technology they are using blows my mind. I mean, I fly drones every day to monitor crop health. You get in a tractor and there's five monitor screens and a DVD player. Like, there's some pretty cool stuff that's happening in agriculture that a lot of our urban cousins don't realise. There's also, in the media, it portrays farmers as very conservative, that they are stuck in the old way and they don't accept the science of climate change. Whereas I think that's nonsense. Any farmer looking out the kitchen window can see how the climate is changing, how their environment is changing, and they know what they need to do that day to, you know, better prepare themselves for these adversities.
You, as an agricultural scientist, looking at a place like Broken Hill, and you've got these predictions to say, you know, temperatures could rise and this could really create an issue for the agricultural industry there. What's the first thing you're thinking in your mind? What's step one to try and remedy this problem?
Part of the problem is that because we're dealing with native vegetation, we actually don't know how many of those species will react to changes in the climate.
The major agricultural industries in Broken Hill are sheep and cattle grazing for meat. So understanding the native vegetation is important because that's what's feeding the livestock.
The saltbush, the shrubs, the grasses, the flowers. Unlike highly managed agricultural systems in the eastern part of New South Wales, where we actually know a lot about the species that grow in those environments and what their tolerance is, we know very little about the native species out west. And so as a consequence, we're never sure where a tipping point might be. So we can't be sure that a particular species will experience a temperature that stops it from breeding and producing seeds. Now, if that happens over a long period of time, that species will start to disappear. And again, that can cause bigger changes in things like food chains. So the first thing I'd say is we need much more information about how a lot of those native species are going to react to changes in climate.
And why don't you think we have this information already if we're such a buzz in terms of the impact of potential climate events?
Western New South Wales is not necessarily the focus of research and development. So the focus is largely on the industries that are the most important and make the most money. So we have done a lot of work on industries like wheat, like cotton, like rice. We spent a lot of research dollars there, and we've actually much better adapted those industries to changes in climate. The livestock industries, less so.
This is where farmers have to think ahead about what works best for them and their farm. And for Anika's family, that meant choosing the right sheep.
My parents run an African breed of sheep, Dorpas, and they are meat sheep. So they have hair like a dog or a goat that they shed. They don't have wool. So they are in this incredibly low-maintenance sheep. You don't need to shear them. You don't need to do a lot of the things that you do with traditional European sheep species. They are very well suited to dry conditions because they come from a similar African environment. They always look very full and healthy, even in the middle of a hot, dry summer.
But to be fully prepared for what's to come, having the right sheep is just one cog in the machine.
You also want to, you know, diversify income, I guess. So if you do have an unfortunate event, a drought, a flood or whatever, you are not heavily reliant on just one income stream. Some are looking at bush tucker foods like kwandongs and wattle seeds. You know, farmers are trying to tap into different markets to spread their risk.
Is it this thing of, though, you have to see how it plays out because you might have different things that you're trying to do to prepare for events, but what if a really, really bad long heat wave comes along that really smacks you across the face? Like, will you necessarily be ready for that?
I think you try to be as ready as you can. And farmers, you know, have a history of just getting on with the job. You know, every day there's a new challenge thrown at them. A farmer just has to go, yep, that's what I got to focus on today. I'm just going to get on with it and fix it. In regards to the climate change story, we have to make sure that the story that is getting out there is the right story. And that's all of our responsibilities. That's, you know, farmers' responsibilities. We need to speak up and say, you know, well, this is what we're actually experiencing. And perhaps we do need, you know, some help. And that's also the responsibility of people who live in urban environments to investigate what's actually happening out there in other areas of Australia and to get the real picture.